It's the Tiltcast, episode 479, Not a Zookeeper.
And this week, guys, we talked about Skyrim with mods, Final Fantasy 14, Aliens Fireteam Elite, and Yakuza Like a Dragon. Stay tuned.
Apparently, rhinos. Yes.
Hey, we're here. Cracks.
It's the remote Tiltcast.
Yes, yay. It is. And we are back yet again, sort of, with kind of. What we've got: Jason remote, me remote, and Rusty remote.
Nope.
It is an M-rated show.
Technically, Nosh, you're not remote. You're where we always record.
That is correct.
Fucking dropping shit.
We are an M-rated show. As we're getting started, I'm Nos.
I'm Jason.
I'm Rusty.
And you're going to get some amount of time's worth of bullshit.
Bullshit.
Some games, some news. Yeah, Rusty's not feeling well. Jason, you had possible COVID scare in your household. Is that right?
Yeah, basically my wife's cousin and her sister, both positive.
Oof.
And Crystal was with both of them on Tuesday. So even though she really hasn't had any symptoms, we're playing it safe.
Yeah, give it a couple weeks, and if nobody's dead, then we're good to go for another.
Pretty much. Yeah. But since I'm vaccinated, that means I still get to go work. I just get to wear a mask again.
Oh, joy. See, you're already
worth it, or you're already used to it, though. Yeah. I never got used to it, aside from being at small things where I had to wear a mask for a little bit. So for me, wearing a mask for more than a couple hours sucks.
I'll put it this way. I will miss my vaccine earned freedom.
Oh,
for those, for however long it takes for Crystal's testing to come back.
I just feel for everybody that has a beard that has to wear a mask.
Yeah, because you're fucking ridiculous.
It's one of the things that I just don't have a problem with. So,
I mean, being a hairless ape that you are.
Ah, fuck you. You can suck on my ass for that.
Not today, sir. Like, you ever seen those? So my one and only experience with a rhino was with a rhino that had to take a dump. And we went to the zoo when I was a kid, and they just finished feeding the rhinos, and the rhinos, like, ass blasted the fucking wall. It was fucking gross. It's just like an explosion of poop. And thus, you know, one of the many things that have caused my aversion to poop started happening right there at about 8 years old.
You were scarred by a rhino. That's funny as shit.
Rhino poop is just, it's a messy affair.
Well, at least you don't work as a, in the zoo as a keeper.
I mean, there was a point that I wanted to be one, and then after that, that's a big old hell no.
Yeah.
Negative ghostwriter. Not a zookeeper.
I can see that not being a thing for you.
I mean, closest I am to being an animal keeper is this wild animal I got right here.
Yep, you're gonna have to give Lola the pets. She can't jump up on my chest during the cast today, so she's gonna be extra confused as to why you're talking into a microphone.
So, well, she doesn't know what talking is because she's never heard anything. She just sees my mouth move. Right now, I've got a paw in one hand, and then she's getting belly scratches with my toes.
You have a unique relationship with that pup.
I'm trying to figure out what to do. So, you know, here, 2, 3, 4 weeks, going to go on a 12-hour road trip with the dog, and I got to figure out how to take a dump while I'm on the road with the dog. And I guess I need to get another key made, or has anybody got any ideas? Because it's not like I can take the dog with me to go to the bathroom.
Leave her in the car?
Yeah.
With the AC running?
Yeah.
Fine. Yeah. I mean,
you
I'm just
have
worried
two
about
keys to
animal,
your car, right?
No, actually. I need to get another ignition key made so that I can do that. And I need to get it. I was thinking about this. I need to get a sign that says.
Or you just leave her there, crack the windows. And I mean, you shouldn't be in there long enough for the car to heat up too bad.
Yeah. I don't want to come back to some activist breaking my windows. So I want to leave the AC on and say, I'm not a monster. Humans have to poop. She has the AC on. Something like that.
I'm sure it'll be fine. People go into, to the local gas station, get gas, do the thing. That's basically all you're going to be doing anyways, getting gas, doing the thing, and then coming back. It happens all the time. And if you see an activist breaking your window, you just break their face. It's easy. I mean, you could also put up a sign on your window. I've seen that happen before too. I'm not a monster. The dog has AC.
Yeah, something like that.
Please don't break my window. It's expensive.
Yeah, so I gotta, just like you, Rusty, I'm a huge planner, so I'm thinking about this way ahead of time, right?
Yes.
So I'm gonna do like a trial run of just leaving her in the car by herself while I walk into a gas station here sometime soon and see what happens.
That's pretty much all you'll need is just that amount of time. You're not going to be more than maybe 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So, I'm sure that the interior of your car will be perfectly fine.
Mostly.
Mostly, yeah.
You might want to get some Kevlar seat cushions. Just pup proof the inside of your car just a little bit, maybe. Throw some blankets in the back for. I don't know. My parents' pups had no issues traveling. You just have to get her used to it. So the idea of just kind of taking her out and giving her a try, a couple trial runs. We'll get her trained for it. That's fun.
Well, I have, 3 days off starting this week, actually. So I might take a little mini, not really road trip, but just drive somewhere with the radio on and just see how she does on a semi-extended drive.
There you go. The one time that I had to transport an animal for, over a long distance, that had never been inside a car ever, was a cat. I ended up having to drive a cat from Colorado to Oklahoma, which is, it's not a short drive. And I thought, oh God, I had rented a car and I thought, oh God, the car, I'm never going to get the deposit back. The car's going to be trashed by this cat. Cat found a good spot in the back window and just passed out the entire time. So you never know. It could be the opposite and she shreds the inside of your car, but I mean,
just have to get seat covers.
That's why blankets exist.
Yeah, I'm going to blanket the fuck out of the back seat so she can take naps.
Yeah.
And then I got some motion sickness stuff so she doesn't vomit over and over again in the back seat.
Does she get motion sick?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be fun for you.
That's going to be really fun for you.
Yeah, usually about 2 hours is her limit. And then I take a corner real hard and then I just see her back there going, and then she just everything.
Yeah, I suggest a lot more blankets.
cover everything in plastic and then just, you know, just driving down the road and out comes this vomit-covered plastic and just hits the windshield behind me.
Just go full Dexter on the back seat. That'll be fine.
Now she thinks it's time to play. So it's been a week. So if you weren't feeling like ass right now, Rusty, I had smoked mac and cheese, but it's smoked cauliflower instead of noodles.
Oh.
With bacon. So I took about 4 or 5 slices of bacon, cut it up, fried it up, right, threw it in there, and then got real bacon bits and put a whole package of that on there and then topped it with shredded cheese and then threw it in the smoker for about 2.5 hours at about 250.
Oh.
It is very much, the bacon, like, just clung to the hickory smoke. It's orgasmically good. I still can't figure out how to get rid of a little bit of the oil on the reheat, but I figure you just stir it a couple times and while you're heating it up and it's all right. It's extremely smoky. It's one of the best smoked sides I've done. I think it's better than the mac and cheese I made, honestly.
It sounds fantastic. To be honest, I haven't actually tried the keto version of mac and cheese yet, like what you're describing. And the fact that you're smoking it makes it,
I think the hardest thing is getting a consistent texture with cauliflower because, you know, it's not noodles, right? So it's bigger chunks. So, yeah. Like, just getting in there with your spatula and just kind of chopping it up in little blocks. I just took, like, 3 packs of frozen cauliflower, heated it up in the microwave, and drained it, and then tossed it in an aluminum pan, you know? And, you know, cheese sauce is not that hard to make, so.
Right. I think your oil is coming from the cheese sauce. I don't think it's coming from the bacon, but
no,
it could be.
It's definitely the cheese sauce. I mean, I don't know how to get less oil from cheese.
You use less cheddar. Cheddar's very oily.
Oh, I don't know what else to use, I guess.
Let's see. I think I'm going to be completely wrong and somebody's going to call me out on it, but I would use like maybe a shredded Colby, or because Colby is a little more melty.
I start say Colby and any of the Jack cheeses are normally.
Yeah, Colby Jack would probably do rather well. It's kind of stringy, but that's the Jack part of it.
I just used extra sharp cheddar is what I used and cream cheese.
Yeah, it's just the cheddar breaks after a while, and that's what releases the oil. That's just the way cheddar is.
Yeah. It might be all the butter I use, too.
Cheddar and mozzarella are both really greasy once you heat them up.
Yeah, but mozzarella's... you could put mozzarella on anything. I don't care if it's greasy. I'm a big mozzarella fan, so, like... When I could make my pizzas, it is over-cheesed.
Let's say I could also throw a little, like, the, you know, the ball of mozzarella you get from the grocery store you got to peel apart. Mm-hmm. Just toss that in the cheese sauce. Or I could use, like, queso fresco or something like that.
You could do that. Like, what I would probably do is, you know, and it might actually turn out really well. You just make a queso sauce, mix it in with the cauliflower, and have queso flour. Yeah.
Whatever's clever. I will tell you though, it's so addictive that I've been breaking my intermittent fasting. I had a little bit last night. I had a little bit right before we started the show. I was like, I could use about 2 or 3 scoops. Yeah, that sounds good.
Sounds fantastic, sir. I wish I could have some. I'm sure that you do not want any part of what I've got in your house right now. So
No shits. No,
yeah. I'm not having the best of days today. So hence the remote.
Jason, you got anything interesting going on? Because we know all Rusty's got going is the shits.
I mean, other than what I discussed already, not really. Just more escapades in Skyrim, which I'll get to later, but nothing super interesting.
Yeah, I know me and Rusty got a game to talk about, and I got a different game to talk about this week. So you got Skyrim, we've got some aliens to talk about here in a little bit, and we've got some Yakuza Like a Dragon to talk about a year later. Wow. To be fair, that game didn't come out till November of last year.
But, I mean, did it just recently come out on Game Pass?
No, I don't know. They released all the Yakuzas when they released that. So they released, as far as I remember, they released Like a Dragon and then like all of the Yakuzas all the way through Yakuza 0, which is the remake of the first one, all at the same time. So there's like fucking 8 Yakuza games on there, I think. It's something crazy.
I don't remember. I think I remember seeing something on Twitter about it, but I've slept since then, so I wouldn't be able to say for sure.
Yeah, I'm actually looking right now. So one of the things that's, you know, we're talking about comfy gaming the last couple of weeks, I've been playing Yakuza off and on my tablet because that up. Sometimes when I'm taking a break at work, now that I'm on a 10-hour, I can take 3 breaks. It is nice to just turn on the tablet and pull up a game that you want to play and then just go for it. And it's, I'll tell you, so it's a little bit inconsistent sometimes depending on what's going on. If I've got the work PC running, it is, the work PC wants to use all the fucking bandwidth. And so it does drop my available bandwidth for streaming gaming quite a bit. But as soon as I turn it off, like everything goes way, way up. So yeah, there are 7 Yakuza. No. So there's 5, 6, 7. Yeah. 7 Yakuza games.
Yeah.
Eight, including, Jesus, there's a lot of these games.
Including Like a Dragon, right?
Yeah, 8 including Like a Dragon. I've never actually played them. Like, I'm feeling like I really sold myself short, and I'll just go ahead and talk about it, because it is so much different than everything else we play. I can't say much about the other Yakuza games, because I know they're more like Bouncer, for anybody that remembers that, like more like a brawler or an action game with a lot of story. Yakuza is a straight turn-based RPG, very much like a Final Fantasy. But the classes are pretty weird. It took a while to get into. I'm not going to lie. I was really trying to give a good old college try, and it really opened up after about 4 hours. I know that seems like a lot, but I was telling Rusty, it goes through like from the time this guy is born all the way through his 40s before the game starts. It's a lot of backstory. They really want to tell you a lot about Ichiban, which is the main character. And they really do a lot of world building about his involvement with the Yakuza and a bunch of other stuff. So essentially until you get to chapter 4, it's like tutorial plus cutscenes. There's about 15 to 30 minutes, maybe 45 minutes worth of gameplay in those first 4 hours, and the rest is cutscenes. So I was literally like watching cutscene, pausing, working, watching cutscene, pausing, working, playing for just a second on my next break, pausing, working. And then finally, I was like, man, if this doesn't let up, if this doesn't, like, it feels like the game hasn't started, I may switch games because it's really serious. But the writing continued to kind of grab me. The story is actually pretty damn good so far. And it's super relatable. So it's this story about a guy that hits rock bottom in his early 40s and then is working his way back into life. And he has like an amazingly positive outlook on life. So the main dude is the guy that you see on the cover of the game with the blown out hair, right? And the baseball bat. That is the main character. And didn't think I'd like him at first, but in, you know, with a lot of JRPGs, right? Like it, them being more story based than Western open world RPGs. This takes a little bit of an open world approach, but the story, there are going to be a choices kind of thing happen, but for the most part, the story is pretty linear. And, you know, you don't customize your character. The story is really focused on this main character, right? So it is not like a WRPG in that way. It does feel a little bit like Grand Theft Auto, in that you've got like an open map with a bunch of little things to do on that map. But the combat is a mix of like quick time events plus abilities that you're using. So like you might do this like spin attack with your bat, which is if you time your Y hit perfectly with that attack, then you get extra damage or an extra status effect. Might have a counter attack with one of your party guys that he takes a defensive stance. And then if you hit Y when it tells you when to hit Y, you get an additional stronger counterattack that comes with it. There's things like that. The job classes are really weird. So I have a hobo in my party that has, and this is some of his status effects, bad breath. And I think the tooltip is something like he debilitates their defense with his stink-ass breath. He can blow liquor out of a bottle onto a lighter and create a fireball. He can scrounge for medicine and apply it to one of your party members, or he can take a quick nap and recover health. And I think the category or the name of that ability is something like nap anywhere or something like that. So like you have, your archetypes are not the same as what you get in a traditional RPG, right? You don't have like fighter, cleric, wizard, whatever, right? But my hobo is kind of like a healing mage, I guess, is what he would be, right? And then I've got like my ex-cop who's got a lot of protection abilities plus a lot of subdue abilities and a lot of status effects he can affect on people. My guy is quote unquote, his base archetype is hero, which is an all rounder thing, but I just changed his job to, bodyguard, and the bodyguard gets a katana. So I'm starting to level that job class up, but you go to a job board, right? To get jobs like an unemployment board that gets people temp jobs. And that's where you change your job.
Okay.
It has this weird thing, like this whole Don Quixote effect where Ichiban sees people differently than everybody else because he's got some mental issues. And so the people that you fight on the street kind of morph into a little bit more superhuman characters. And the same thing goes for your abilities and things like that. So it's kind of alluding to the fact that because he's got a hero complex and he's a little bit crazy, this is just the way he perceives the world. And it's the way that explains the magic and stuff like that, which I thought was an interesting approach to making the mundane a lot more exciting. Dialogue's pretty good. And the like general, there's some grindiness to it, like a lot of JRPGs, right? Like, and go fight random bad guys in the streets.
Right.
It's got a lot of that random Japanese quirkiness in the same way that Dead Rising has, where you got weird references to a lot of old Sega games that are in this game. In fact, I can go in and play Virtua Fighter in an arcade in the game. And then I've got this thing on my cell phone that lets me, it's like Call a Hero or something like that, right? And it's these random things that I'm doing throughout the world net me points to give me to cash in. So after I fight so many of a certain type of dude, I cash it in to make more money. And money's a real issue right now. I'm pretty early game. In fact, I just unlocked crafting and things like that. But all the weapons are, for the most part, mundane, that are just fantastical in Ichiban's mind, which is just an interesting concept. It's very much a... I like the fact that I'm playing somebody who's just a little bit older than me, if that makes any sense. More often than not nowadays, when you're playing games at our age, you're playing people that are younger than you, and it's a little bit harder to relate to the coming of age kind of stuff. And his is, he came to age, everything got fucked up, and now he's starting over a little bit older than us. And the whole, like, thing is that it's never, like, the whole overarching story is that it's never too late to start over and make something of yourself, which is kind of an inspiring story. So, like, overall, it's incredibly unique. I've never played, I mean, I have played things, there are things like this, like a lot of things, right? But even though he's essentially an ex-criminal, he's operating in the underworld to change the city, so to speak. He's trying to be the hero. That's the archetype that he's going for. And dialogue's pretty good. The stories are pretty good. There's a lot of long cut scenes in this game. So there is that. They are pausable, but not the only thing that's skippable are some of the dialogue points. The boss fights are pretty great. What is it called? There's an app on your phone called Pound Town. And Pound Town starts off as a cheeky joke about, like, sex talk, and ends up being people you call in as backup for money. So the first time you do it, and this is a minor spoiler, but it made me crack up. You call Pound Town, and a really buff dude comes in to help you fight. And your character's response to seeing a really big buff dude, being that he's very much hetero, he is sitting there thinking, is this the kind of Pound Town I'm going to go to?
Oh, my God. So it's got some of that. It's got some of that weird humor to it.
It's very much like it's like Saints Row 2, right? In its humor. Mm-hmm. It's not sanitized at all. It's very much for a Japanese audience. I would say that if you're a little bit sensitive to the things that a lot of people get offended by nowadays, there's probably some things that would make some people want to cancel this game. I think it is raw and great.
Yeah.
So far, you know, without going too far into it, it's refreshing because it is self-aware. And it doesn't take things too far. There's always like a silver lining with things, but you can tell like it was made for a Japanese audience, and I'll leave it at that. And I love the gamification of a lot of things. Like it's because it doesn't make itself too realistic. It's just quirky and weird and great. And, so far I think I'm about 12, 13 hours. I've been playing it all day today. Played it mostly yesterday. It's on Game Pass. You need a weird RPG. I don't know if you guys ever played Shenmue.
Oh, God.
It's like fantastical Shenmue. It's not quite as life sim as Shenmue. I think the theme with this is it takes the mundane and makes it really exciting because okay. Ichiban is obviously a little bit crazy. But that's what makes this interesting. And I could be completely wrong. But that's the subtext that I'm getting is that Ichiban's a little bit crazy.
I'm just floored, absolutely floored that you're getting into a JRPG of any kind.
I can get into them. It's not an anime JRPG. It's just Weird Japan JRPG. I can definitely do with Weird Japan JRPG. That would be Dead Rising. Dead Rising, the first one and the second one are two games that I really like. And it is the weird Japanese-iness of it. It's just not, you know.
Weird Japanese-y, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I can see that. There are a few games out there that definitely take, like, a wacky turn.
This is 100% unexpected. There is nothing normal about this game. It's it's kind of like, I don't remember if you played Costume Quest way back in the day.
Costume Quest?
It was a it was on Xbox. It was an RPG for kids. And I remember, like, your kid is wearing stuff that a kid would wear and have fun make-believing, right? When he gets in a battle, it's not make-believe. And that's kind of what it feels like with Ichiban. It's kind of that same concept, like this wooden sword is now a real sword kind of thing, right?
Okay. This crowbar is legendary.
I mean, I've got one of the jobs I have, if I go the hero class, one of the job outfits I can get is a suit of armor. So everything morphs real quick when you go into battle, and he goes from wearing a shitty, torn-up suit with holes in it to having a suit of armor on and a katana. So... You know,
he's got a really active imagination, but he's actually just beating people with a fucking plunger.
Yeah, that's kind of what it feels like. And like a lot of the weapons are really mundane things like that. So far, I pretty highly recommend it. It was me getting out of my comfort zone. I've been playing a lot of Fallout 76 and gotten really the farthest I've ever gotten in the game lately. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to try Yakuza out, especially since I can play it on the tablet and on my PC. It's crossplay. Or not crossplay, but is that what that is? Right. I can save it on my tablet, pick it up on my PC, and vice versa.
Yes, that's crossplay.
Yeah, that is.
So that makes it super worth it. And it runs really fucking good on this little Android tablet. That's another thing. Like, let's just talk about comfy gaming for just a second with the Xbox Cloud. Like. When it's on, I mean, you literally just Bluetooth your controller to your tablet, hit Game Pass. I've run stuff off my phone's hotspot on this thing.
Yeah, I was about to say, it doesn't take a whole lot of bandwidth, and you're still getting a good amount of game out of it. It's actual wizardry is what it is. It's actual wizardry. Because you're able to have a decent experience with a game on a fairly... small amount of bandwidth, pretty much anywhere it allows you to take gaming wherever the hell you want to go. If you're stuck on, you know, if you're just stuck with what you can get over your cell phone plan, sure, it's probably going to eat your data alive, but
yeah, but if you have unlimited data like I do,
right, then you just don't give a crap, and you can take your gaming wherever you go, and that's probably a pretty big selling point for you, considering you were just saying you were going to go on a trip,
right?
So, and this will give you an opportunity to, you know, to continue playing the other Yakuza games if you finish Like a Dragon.
Yeah,
I'm sure you're hooked by now.
I'm pretty sold on the series. I'd like to see it. What the more serious side of it is like. But from my understanding, like, some of the other games are not all that serious either. I will say that the issue you run into sometimes with Game Pass via Android is on the really fast-paced games. So, Doom. I think Doom is kind of hard on Game Pass. It requires so much FPS. Whatever the wizardry is, like, it locks Yakuza to about 40 frames a second, somewhere in there, right? And it runs pretty smooth. There's some, like, you know, like when you're streaming a video and you get, like, a lower resolution, right? And it drops the resolution down, let's say 480 or something like that, right? You get a little bit of artifacting sometimes when the connection drops, but the frame rate doesn't drop. It's just the picture quality continues to drop until it's no longer playable, essentially. So with Doom, aiming at little things on a screen is kind of, like, an FPS is kind of hard. But something that's a little slower paced, like, say, Gears of War 5. I've actually played that. When this first launched, I put it on my phone, took it to work, and tried it out, you know, on my mobile at work, and it ran pretty well. This was, like, 2 years ago, back when I worked in a place.
Right.
I was just going to say, like, Game Pass for mobile is definitely glowing places, and I could even do, like, start a party and do things like that through it. Like, it's pretty insane.
Yeah. I'd probably use it just to play some indie-style games, which don't necessarily... I don't imagine that would take up too much bandwidth, and it doesn't really require a whole lot of FPS. Unless I'm playing something like, like Hollow Knight or something like that, I'd probably want to have, really tighter controls, because that game is really tight as it is.
Yeah, but I tried Atomicrops on it, and it worked decent.
But games like
Slay the Spire
or Monster Train or whatever the hell that's called. I forget. Is it Monster Train?
Monster Train. Again, that's another high recommend from me for card-based battlers.
Yeah, those types of games, easy to pick up, with this. It's not like just realized we sound kind of like we're shilling fucking Xbox over and over again. But, I mean, just from a use case scenario standpoint,
there's not anything else like it. I mean, I guess I could get Stadia and put it on here and pay the subscription service and get one of those stupid controllers and play like 7 games. But,
right. You could use the NVIDIA Shield if you wanted to buy an NVIDIA Shield and do that.
Everybody has options. A lot of people nowadays have a tablet, especially with all the remote stuff, right? Like Jason, if you wanted to, literally your subscription covers this, and then you've got fucking 100 games you can play on here. Now, it is not the exact same library. That's the one thing that's different. It's a little bit different. And so, that being said, it's games that work on here. But for to be super crazy about it, I mean, Destiny 2 is on here if you really want to play Destiny, but Destroy All Humans is on here, right? Dragon Age Inquisition is on here. All of the Fallouts are on here. Most of the Gears of Wars are on here. But Halo is going to be on here when it comes out, which is actually right on the horizon. That's actually about to be released, isn't it?
Halo, I think, is in December. If I read the information correctly, let me check real quick.
I mean, I got a notification on Game Pass about that. Oh, yeah. I could play Vermintide 2 on here, which is nuts.
That would be kind of nuts. Let's see. Halo Infinite release dates. It came out with information about this at Gamescom.
I know you can...
December 8th.
Pre-install.
Oh, this would be way early to pre-install.
Yeah, it's December 8th is the release date for Halo Infinite. So
I mean, maybe a couple days before I might pre-install it, but I'm not going to pre-install it months ahead of time.
Right. It's one of those, they announced it at Gamescom, which happened over the last week, and they immediately put that stuff up there so that you could take advantage of it. If you wanted to eat up some hard drive space for a long period of time beforehand.
Not me.
Yeah. Now I've got a hard drive space is a valuable commodity on both of our rigs. So that's news. Cause I mean, if you follow Gamescom, that was one of the things that that popped up there.
So, Jason, you've been playing a lot of Skyrim. What are you? So, how modded did you make your experience?
169 mods and counting.
I have about 50 character mods.
I wasn't far off.
That includes some different armors and whatnot. And then really for overall game visuals, I'm just using Reshade.
Reshade's pretty great.
Reshade actually works really well.
It runs pretty light too. So I take it. How's your FPS running that many mods?
I'm still near 100.
I'd say you're okay. Are you streaming it to the other screen?
But like I said, all of them are characters, like different skins, hair, and just some armor.
Hair.
It's nothing too intense.
Hair. You.
I do the hair mods too, because like vanilla Skyrim has like 6 haircuts.
You never see your character.
You can play in third person.
Shit jank for hair, and I play in third person.
You're an idiot. I mean, you're a wonderful person.
Oh yeah, that's the other thing. A couple of camera mods.
Okay.
To make third person worth it.
I don't think I'll ever play Skyrim again, just on principle that the fact that they tried to sell that shit to me like fucking 9 times. So yeah, they can. I'll buy the new Elder Scrolls if it ever comes out, but I won't. I'm probably not going to play Skyrim again. The fact that you have to put like 60 some mods in there just to have fun with it anymore. I'm good, thanks.
It's not necessarily that I need the mods to have fun. It's just
if I was going to play a long game, I would probably play Witcher 3 over again versus playing Skyrim. I've already went through Skyrim 3 times. But I've only ever played Witcher 3 once.
I think
my initial
play. Well, see, I'm kind of the opposite way with Skyrim and The Witcher. I've played The Witcher way more than I've played Skyrim.
Okay. Well, I mean,
so that's just a difference of perspective, sir.
More wizardry, if you guys can see it. This just loaded up. I know Andromeda is not the best game, but if you can see any of that, it's Andromeda running on my tablet from an old save from like 3 years ago. Because of cloud saving. And, you know, I played it on console. Just ridiculous.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's Andromeda, though.
I mean, Jason likes it's Andromeda.
It got a lot of shit.
And I think
it probably deserved it for some of the animation issues, but they did try to fix it. And it's just an unfortunate situation
it's just not Shepard. That's all it is.
Though I was okay with it not being Shepard.
And then it got so much shit that they just didn't finish it, because I feel like the story would have closed off had they released a DLC, and it was set up for like an expansion or a part 2, and it never got that. And so just kind of ends prematurely. It's like, all right, we saved the planet, we've got a colony, and what happened to the other ships?
Yeah, nobody knows. And that's kind of the thing, is that they expected that, you know, that game to take off and it would be a whole new trilogy, but because of sales, it got axed. And there's something to be said about who made the decision to axe that. But of course,
I mean,
was kind of pushed out, and it was plagued with issues when it, you know, from the get go. They got it to a playable state now, but it's okay. It's still going to be the most mediocre of the Mass Effects.
I agree.
So,
I mean, at least we got the new Mass Effect. Though I'd be curious to try the Game Pass for PC or Game Pass for Android thing. Sometimes runs better than my Steam Link. I've thought about trying to play Mass Effect on this thing, and I was just like, I don't know. Let's just play something I know that works. So it's back to Yakuza. But
whatever works.
Yeah. So, Rusty, you've been what's your update on the state of Final Fantasy as you work your way towards the new DLC that happens in a few months?
Well, I mean, I've been doing a number of different things. One of which was, getting back into actively playing the game with my buddy Cam. He's been like the oldest friend. Everybody's got the oldest friends, your first best friend, right?
Yeah, I'd be like my friend Brian.
And you know, Cam is my oldest best friend. He's like, he's, you know, and we haven't really played games together in years, like literal years, because I mean, he's lives in halfway, you know, half a country away, lives during the day, whereas I live during the night. And he has been playing WoW for a long, 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 long time. And he just recently gave Final Fantasy a try, just like just about every WoW player has. And that is a whole nother story. But he actually took to it, started getting into it and enjoying the game. And he's been wanting to talk over Discord about the game at length. In fact, I mean, you had messaged me last night and I was like, yeah, he's going to go to bed soon. I'm sure of it. He stayed up till 4 o'clock in the morning talking to me, his time, about the game, which makes me happy because I'm, you know, not only am I able to play with my buddy, he's actually enjoying his time and we're, you know, we're doing things together. We're running dungeons and, you know, crafting armor sets and things of that nature. So it's good to be able to play an MMO with somebody because I've played this game solo for almost the entire time I played it. I didn't know anybody anyway. So it's a unique experience, you know, for me, you know, with this game that I haven't had before. And it's like, okay, this is cool. But in the game, I decided that my goal isn't to get like the best gear for every, you know, for my character. It's not to make the most money with my character. My goal is to get all of my jobs, all of the classes from their starting point to max level before Endwalker comes out. And I'm about halfway there at this point. So I have a little bit of grinding to go, but my current project right now is I'm leveling Samurai. I had just leveled Ninja, which I absolutely love Ninja, and Samurai is basically, it's different than Ninja. It has different, you know, different combos, but it feels good. It has it's a very chunky damage class, and it's very, you know, very stylish because of the whole, Samurai Katana thing. He does all kinds of like cool blade work when he does, you know, attacks and shit. I think it's really cool looking. Of course, big numbers are a thing for Samurai as well. In the game, there's some characters that provide utility, like party buffs and things like that. Samurai is none of that shit. Samurai is like, I'll take all of your buffs and give nothing back. I provide damage, and that is my main goal. I kill things. Which I can get behind. but outside of that, there's quite a bit to this game that I haven't done. And I still am not going to get anywhere close to doing all of it. Considering November is coming up really quick. And Endwalker comes out in mid-November. So I have to level, like, I don't know, like six or seven jobs from 1 to 80. And
in about 90 days, which for you is literally like about 6 weeks of play time.
It took me about a week and a half to get my ninja from 1 to 80. And that was, you know, doing the whole work thing and stuff like that. Right. It took a little bit of time, so it'll be real close if I can, you know, if I can pull it off. But that's my current goal. I mean, at the moment, there's not a whole lot going on as far as extra games that I'm super interested in right now. Though there was one game that, you know, that came out just recently that I was definitely interested in. You and me both, actually.
Yeah, we've been playing Aliens Fireteam Elite.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of a slow burn, I would say. So, like, if you want to just rate it off the cuff, 3.75 definitely has to be with friends.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the, well, it's pretty much any, like, group-based shooter. You're going to want to play with friends just for the oh shit factors, bouncing stuff off of, you know, bouncing ideas off of people and whatnot. And we're playing it on basically normal mode right now.
Yeah, we've got the last mission to do, and then we unlock the next mode, and then we can start rolling modifiers on stuff because we're building up classes. You're playing, you started off with Technician, yeah, and then move to soldier class or gunner, I think is what they're called. Is that right?
Yeah, gunner.
And then I'm playing demolitionist, and they've got class-based abilities. Your ability lets everybody shoot and reload faster, which is nice. And then you got grenades, and then I've got like a quick artillery blast that I can shoot out in a small area of effect. And then I've got a stun for things that are around me. But I get a heavy weapon and a regular weapon. You get a regular weapon and a close quarters weapon. Is that right?
I get a rifle and a close quarters weapon, which could be like an SMG or a shotgun, which I, of course, use the shotgun because shotgun versus bugs. Yeah.
Yeah. Bugs it's, die. It's not a horror game. I'm just going to say that this is completely different than Alien Isolation.
Now, there's parts where there's jump scares. There's the prowler aliens that kind of jump out from nowhere and, you know, can pin a person down, but they're fairly easy to take care of. You don't have the same powerlessness that you had from Isolation, because you had no weapons in Isolation. You couldn't defend yourself. You just had to hide. And then pray that the AI didn't automatically just know exactly where you were, because that seems to be the way that it worked for me.
But the base aliens, the base bugs are not that bad. The bigger aliens are a little bit tough, and it does throw a shitload of aliens at you.
Yes.
You're routinely running out of ammo, even with what we got in our buffs and everything else.
Yeah,
where we're down to pistols, and we're like, where's the reload station? I've literally got like half a clip left. And you're like, oh, there's the reload station. All right.
Yes.
And then you got deployables like turrets, like auto turrets and stuff like that. You've got one that like will, like a shock trap that will freeze stuff in its place. Same thing with a freeze trap. You can take cover. The cover is useful for things like spitters. And it's also useful because they've got the androids. From the Alien series that have weapons and attack you with those weapons. And you've got the regular drones, right, that have, like, wrenches and shit like that they hit you with. And then you've got, like, some weird mutated bullshit that gets very different.
Right. There's some alien types that are not in the game or in the movies. Like the Prowler, I don't think is... in the movies, and the Spitter, I don't think is in the movies. There's an Exploder alien. The Exploder alien's definitely not in the movies. That's something that's new, and they actually explain that. There's a little bit of lore to the game, but not the story's not the main, you know, the main focus. Like, the story is there just to explain why the hell you're there, and that's pretty much it. And kind of explain like the new variants of the aliens. But outside of that, it's just one of those dumb fun shooters. It's kind of, to me, the reason why it would be like a 3.75 or maybe even a 3.5 for me is just, it's not quite as tight as I want it to be. And a lot of it's very linear. Like there's, so what I'm immediately in my mind comparing it to would be Vermintide. Because,
right. And you know, Vermintide campaign has like 18 missions, something like that, right?
Right.
And then on top of that, now part of this is the DLC, right? You've got the DLC, and then you got the Chaos Gate stuff. Was it Chaos Gate that has all the random missions?
I think so. Yeah, I think it was something very, very similar.
The roguelite mode of Vermintide is really fucking great. I mean, it does a really good job of randomizing stuff.
The Chaos Wastes.
Chaos Wastes, yeah. So Chaos Wastes Vermintide is pretty amazing.
That is boiled down the funnest kind of game mode available for Vermintide. I think that they distilled everything that they wanted to do in the game and put it into Chaos Wastes, and that right there is perfect because you never know what you're going to run into. It seems like on the first run through this, through Aliens, it's all right. But it seems like if you run through that, through those missions again, even on a harder difficulty, it's just going to be fairly samey because it's hallway, battle room, hallway, battle room, hallway, battle room, you know, and
I'm glad I didn't get too hyped for it, right? But I'm also okay with the $40 price point. I mean, if you're skittish about it, like maybe wait till it's on sale. I think me and Rusty are going to have some fun with it until we get bored with it. But I feel like we'll get our $40 out of it.
Yeah. I mean, I'll have it soon. I just didn't have it day one because I was planning on Game Pass and not
purchasing
it outright.
Yeah, we both checked the day that after it released, actually. Mm-hmm. As we both looked at Game Pass. It's like, well, damn it, it's not on Game Pass.
I told you it wasn't going to be. I told you.
Yeah.
I called that shit.
Yeah, that post was just super confusing.
It didn't say Game Pass. It just said that it was going to be on Xbox. You know, that's true. It's available on Xbox. It's just not going to be part of your Game Pass.
And if it does come out on Game Pass, I don't think that's cross-play compatible. I don't know that it'll play on Game Pass for PC with Steam.
Right. Well, that's...
But at that point, we literally could just get it on Game Pass and play with Jason.
If we wanted to start over again. It does have a little bit of the grind. You know, you're going to... If you're familiar with these kind of games... You know, you don't run through the campaign once and be done with it. For you to get access to other guns, attachments, and cosmetic items and things like that, you run through it multiple times, and you'll get upgrades, XP for your weapons, XP for your class, and more abilities so that you can survive longer and, you know, fight harder aliens, I guess. It's not going to be a quick and done situation unless you're just playing it for the story, in which if you spent $40 for the story, I'm sorry, you're going to feel robbed.
Yeah.
Because there's not much there.
And I think the general sentiment on Steam is most people are into it, but I think most people that are into it are Aliens fans already.
It's possible. That's a possibility. I mean, Aliens does have a cult following, so there's always that. There's going to be people who, like us, will kind of try to compare it to a Vermintide because it's very similar to that.
It's very similar to a Left 4 Dead too, but I think closer approximation is more of a Vermintide because, variety of enemies and weapon upgrades and things like that. There's drops, but most of it is cash rewards that you go to buy upgrades with.
right? There's one hidden chest per level, and that is really the only random piece in a level that I can tell, outside of maybe the placement of the prowlers, where they, you know, just randomly jump out at you. That's really the only things that I can think of that's random in there. There isn't like divergent paths or anything like that in, in the maps.
The way that game's crafted, though, like depending on the engine and how they built it and things like that, they could create a chaos waste type situation with that game.
I mean,
and I'd be curious to see what the horde mode is. The horde mode is literally just a room you defend for as long as you can. That'll get old quick.
Well, I mean, yeah, I can understand that. But then again, some other games that I've played had a horde mode very similar to that, where you just start out in an arena and you just go for as long as you possibly can in that arena. And it wasn't bad. You know,
Halo, Firefly. What the hell is it? ODST. Because they had a lot of people from Firefly in that game. That one had a really amazing horde mode. And it was PvE, which is why I played so much of it. And the Gears 3 and 5 both have really good horde modes.
Yeah, but those are like defending spots and, in those horde modes as well. And you just go as far as long as you can.
And they last a really long time. I think there's a match that me and I want to say it was Nymph, and a couple of other people probably spent 3 or 4 hours in.
Damn.
Yeah. On a single map, like talking about like, glad I didn't have to poop.
Right.
It's just really some really stretched out horde modes, but, yeah, like I think the low points for this game is some of the sameness, and the music is really.
Oh God, the music!
I turned it off. It's like weird, weird, not. It doesn't fit. It's like weird flute music in places, and it just doesn't fit at all. With the damn series, maybe it's. I don't remember the original movie music sucking this bad.
Well,
the music is really bad.
Some of the off action sequences had kind of like an eerie, whimsical sound to it. Like it does have an iconic sound that I can say that it reminds me of the movies. I'm not sure. I haven't watched the movies in a while, but. It reminds me of the movies, but the fact is that eerie, whimsical flute is happening while you're shooting aliens, and it seems to me that it would fit better if it had more of an action-packed, like, action sequence style, like,
Battlestar, like Battlestar drums or something.
Yeah, something. You know,
it's leaves a lot to be desired, and it's kind of off-putting.
So I know you had turned the music off way before this, but the last levels of, the levels that we had just completed before, quitting the other day, had much better battle music for, when the aliens actually did spawn. But that was like, you're going in. And you're actively hunting down aliens, and they're coming from literally every direction. So it tries to amp you up for that. The game, the rest of the game, like three quarters or maybe more of the game, is that weird freaking whimsical shit that happens like in the off moments that just bleeds into the combat, and it makes combat feel cheap at that point. Like there's some people that just dog on sound in games, and I can understand that. But in this case, the music definitely breaks the flow of like mowing down aliens.
Yeah, the pulse rifle sounds pretty good, and the smart gun sounds pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, they pulled the sound samples for those directly from the movies, it sound like. So I was commenting that the pulse rifle, if you just tap the, you know, the trigger on it, in the game, it shoots one round, but it sounds like the gun is cycled four times, because they've turned the cycling up of the pulse rifle to sound, make it sound a whole lot more like it's, you know, shooting out a lot of peas, you know.
I mean, they could make the bullets one quarter strength and then give you four times as many bullets, and then it would match.
I mean, it would make more sense. But then again, if you looked at, you know, the pulse rifles in Aliens had an ammo counter, you know, like an LED display for the ammo counting. And if I remember correctly, it wasn't all that much. Like,
yes, yeah, that's true.
It was like 60 rounds per clip or something like that.
I
don't remember seeing the, you know, I don't remember the movies all that well, but I remember.
You ought to watch a YouTube clip and watch the ammo counter and then count the cycles on the actual shots and see if it matches there too. I bet it's the same.
That's some YouTube science bullshit, and I think I'll just skip that altogether. I'll let somebody else with more time deal with that shit.
But, like, overall, it's a decent game. It's not a great game. It's the only co-op game that's come out recently that's worth a damn. It's certainly no Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance that fucking shat all over the place.
It wasn't a hard bounce. It definitely has its ups and downs. $40. Some people, it might be a hard sell at 40. It's not terrible, but it's not great. You know, so
it's not going to be in game of the year unless like some DLC comes out that really tweaks a bunch of stuff. Right now, like Yakuza is like one of the greater games that I've played this year so far.
Yeah, and I'm still kind of waiting for something to, you know, to come out that really piques my interest. You know,
with all the work from home last year, I doubt that you're going to get much more this year, which kind of sucks.
Yeah. Well, I still have just a couple more games that's on the horizon for this year that don't necessarily either have release dates or I'm not 100% like, you know, into, like, I'm going to play Halo Infinite, of course. I mean, I'm not going to play the multiplayer because, nah, the reports of bots teabagging people was kind of funny, though. You know, from the beta or alpha or whatever the hell that they had, it looked like the bots were teabagging people. But I'm going to play Halo Infinite when it comes out. I'm sure that Lost Ark is going to come out probably in November, if I had to make a guess. Endwalker for Final Fantasy is coming out in November. So between just those three, there's a lot of game in those three.
Back for Blood is the next big one that I'm looking forward to.
You can look forward to it, and you might maybe
and then
even
Icarus after that.
You might have to convince me to play it.
It's fucking part of your subscription.
You're gonna have to like really hard, you know, convince me to even play it free. Zombies, man, it's just, please, for the love of God, find something other than zombies.
I mean, I'm okay with zombies. I mean, I'm looking forward to fucking Dying Light 2, if that comes out this year or not.
I don't think that's coming out this year.
Yeah, we'll see. But I think it's probably about time for a break. What do you guys think?
Yeah,
it's a good time.
All right, Let's do it. We'll be back. Back. There may be something that bleeds through on the microphone here.
Maybe.
There may be.
Everybody say hi.
Hi.
There may be. In case it does bother anybody, I apologize. I am recording in my bedroom, and it is nearly 11 o'clock at night, and my wife is asleep, so.
She could sleep through a goddamn tornado, but it sounds like she's generating her own in the background, so. Anyhoozle, it is time for
a little bit of news.
Whatever news came from all the shit in the last week. And like I said, Gamescom did actually happen, so we do have quite a bit of things to look at, and there's even more online. So if we don't cover it, check that shit out, because there's a lot of juicy shit out there.
Kind of walk us through what you found from Gamescom.
Well, this might interest you because of Elden Ring. One of the bigger reveals of Gamescom was a 15-minute hands-off preview of the Elden Ring gameplay, it looks good. From what I saw, for the first time in a Souls-like game made by them guys, there's going to be a map.
Oh. Yeah, that's a huge difference.
You're going to be able to pull up a map. There is more dialogue, but it's going to still tell the story in a Souls-like way.
Basically meaning it's going to be completely vague.
Well, but there's more dialogue to it. So it's basically one of those, you interpret the story the way that you want to. And there's going to be a little bit of, reading between the lines. And on that note, it was clarified that the world itself was built, including George R. R. Martin's input, but the in-game text and dialogue was written by Miyazaki. So
he did a world, like an overall narrative of what's going on in the world, and then Miyazaki filled in the blanks.
Right. So he's the one that did that, which makes total sense, because I couldn't see George R. R. Martin actually going through and writing dialogue. Otherwise, we probably wouldn't get this game for another 4 years.
Well, that, and it would be like a chapter between things, because brevity is not a skill that George R. R. Martin has.
No, if you take from software, where most of the dialogue is a sentence at best, you wouldn't be able to dump, condense what George R. R. Martin puts out into like 4 words, So I could see Miyazaki doing that, just from what dialogue I've seen from the Dark Souls games.
Yeah, and I'm pretty glad about that. I mean, Miyazaki for game design, I think the one thing that you've missed out on is some of the best level design in games, not just in visual appeal, but in the way that things interconnect with that game, because basically Dark Souls is all about making progress to the point where you create a shortcut to get back to that place, whether it be kicking down a ladder or opening a door or whatever, and very much in its own way, kind of like a Metroidvania, right? To help you go back and forth between different areas. And sometimes, like in the very first game, like if you go down the path and go into, I can't remember what it is, but it's basically a bunch of crypts. That area right there is a fairly high level area that you can enter into at almost no level. And you're supposed to go up. You're not supposed to go down, but you could go down. And then you get yourself fucked. But that also, it's just everything in that game interconnects, and you don't get the ability to warp between bonfires until very late in the game when it makes more sense to get back and forth between areas that are very far away.
Yeah.
So you're always progressing in a direction, and then you're getting a shortcut back to a bonfire so that if you die, you basically start right where you were at before without it warping you to something.
Right. Because Elden Ring is going to be an open world situation. There's going to be dungeons, which you go into, so a dungeon would be like a decrepit church or some shit, right?
Right.
And you go and you clear that shit out for like a quest item or something like that. But because it's going to be open world and there's mounts and things like that in this game, and the fact that there's a map, they're also going to include a more traditional fast travel system. In the game because it's so, expansive.
I don't know how I feel about the open world thing because essentially Dark Souls was a series of corridors, if you would, even open areas that had very distinct paths, right?
Right.
So you're always working your way forward or backward through something. Well, and an open world kind of removes some of that.
It does remove some of that, but that's kind of like a curated feel, whereas an open world situation can add an element of randomness to it. And with that element of randomness, if it's built properly, it could create unique gaming moments that Dark Souls basically, it
Thank
can
you,
have.
Ubisoft President. And then there'll be towers.
Right. Well,
and then there'll be world events give you very little XP that are boring. And then there'll be collectible items. And I hope it's all right. Miyazaki being at the helm, I have faith that it'll at least be decent.
Open world does not mean live service. And you're thinking live service in an open world. That's not what this means. If this is curated in a FromSoft way, and it's open world in a way that it can create a unique experience, then it has even more options for you to go down the wrong path and end up in the fucking crypt and beating on skeletons you shouldn't be beating on. It gives you more opportunities to do something like that to the players, which FromSoft, I think, that company is fueled on the, on the tears of the people who, go down the wrong path, because they continue to make these games that punish people that do that.
Well, they did make Sekiro that plenty of people did not finish, which I felt like, I could go back to that game, but I bounced really hard off of that. Bloodborne, I got pretty far through, and then there were some points that I was like running into that moment where I'm playing the same boss for literally a week, and then I bounced. I think maybe at some point I could go back, but I'm at a point where, I don't know, I'm hoping this is good. I'm hoping that I have enough wiggle room to play it in short and long sessions to did they give a release date?
They did. The first gameplay reveal will be September 1st, and the game is set to be released in March of 2022. It's coming out early next year.
Gotcha.
So that is also fairly big news as far as the release date.
We didn't have any games that big that came out this year.
No. Well, no, there really wasn't, because everything was pushed to 2022. I swear. You're going to look at the 2022 lineup, and you're going to be overwhelmed. Your pocketbook is definitely going to feel the pain next year.
What do we got? What else came out of Gamescom?
Well, there was some of the official stuff for the Saints Row reboot.
Yeah, that's like a complete reboot, new game altogether, right?
Right. That is a full on reboot of the Saints Row franchise. Tones it down a bit, but also still kind of keeps the wackiness that is Saints Row.
I guess we'll see what it looks like in the days we are in today.
Right. It's going to come out in February, on February 25th, it says, for PlayStation, Xbox, and PC.
At least we have Saints Row 3 Remastered on Epic for free right now, right?
Right. So, I mean, if you wanted to go back to the craziness, yeah, you could definitely do that. It's still going to have some of the over-the-top stuff, but it's just going to be, a bit more toned down. Probably less dildo bats. So, I mean, there's that. Horizon Forbidden West got a confirmed release date in 2022. That'll be coming out in February as well. February 18th, 2022. So if you're one of those people who actually has a PlayStation, like PlayStation 4 and 5 is where it's coming out, you'll be able to play the new Horizon game there. They did have a little bit of a trailer for that. Call of Duty,
XCloud game streaming service will be coming to consoles this holiday, so that'll enable us Ultimate members full use
of the XCloud service.
Which is already on Android, which I would hope actually makes even the Android service even better.
Well, it's opening up to the to Xbox, for the Xbox consoles, which makes more sense, being able to play it on TV. The Xbox controls the controller setup, so it makes a whole lot of sense. I'm surprised they haven't done it already.
And they did confirm, I mean, mobile's pretty much locked to 1080 at 720 at 60 FPS, which for small screens is good enough. Consoles will run at 1080 60 FPS.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I can deal with 720 at a smooth 10 inches.
Well, I mean, that's what you're playing on your mobile now. Consoles will be 1080. So you're not going to get 4K, but you are going to get...
Nobody's going to be able to stream 4K, man. Nobody's going to be able to stream 4K at that. No.
To its credit, Stadia does.
Okay. Yeah, but look how successful Stadia is.
Xbox is definitely going for stability of stream there across, multiple regions of the country versus those with extremely good internet.
Right. You need to have extremely good internet for 4K to come through.
And you have to be in a Google Fiber city, really.
Well, I don't think it's that bad, but like I could probably get close to 4K on it. Maybe. I haven't tested my connection, but I'm pretty sure I could get fairly close. But I don't have Stadia, and B, never wanted Stadia, and C, I like having control of the hardware in my rig, so it's a totally game-breaking situation when something starts artifacting on my screen, because then I think something's wrong with my machine, and it's not. It's just the connection, which, yeah.
Right.
I guess I should be all right with that, because, good God, if something started artifacting on my screen right now, I think I'd actually crap a baby.
So the thing that's pretty cool, though, is you can get a Series X launch November 10th for $24.99 a month with Xbox Game Pass Ultimate and EA Play. So I could essentially play $10 more for 2 years, essentially, and get a Series X. That's not bad.
Yeah, I guess. Provided that the games actually show up on, you know, on the service.
Well, if they don't, then you can get games to play on your Series X. I haven't gotten a Series X just because of scarcity, honestly. And then most of the games are on PC, but there are some games that are not on PC.
Well, I'm not going to get a Series X because of that situation. I'm going to just... I'm still going to wait for myself to get a PlayStation 5. There's certain exclusives available to PlayStation that I would love to play. That's not going to come out for PC for at least another year or two. So I'd much rather play them sooner rather than later. I mean, I ended up having to wait for Death Stranding, you know, so it was a thing.
Also announced during Gamescom was New World will have an open beta from September 9th to September 12th.
Okay.
So, you know, from what I understand, most of the optimization issues were patched, but yeah.
So September 9th.
Do you risk it?
Well, September 9th to September 12th, what's the release date for New World?
28.
So they only give themselves like another maybe 2 weeks to fix any issues from an over-the-weekend beta?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, it's possible, but it's like super-duper crunch time shit. So, yeah. New World's a thing. I'm not interested in it. As soon as I heard that basically the game is, you know, got a buttload of PvP and is very PvP focused, I said, I don't think that's for me.
I want to play through the story mode.
What, for New World?
Oh, I thought you were talking about Halo.
No.
No. New World. This is New World. Yeah, New World is the Amazon MMO.
The one that was killing 3090s and 3080s.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
But Halo Infinite's not going to have a campaign at launch, so I don't know what I'm going to be doing with that.
What, Halo?
Yeah.
It's also not going to have Forge.
Nope.
So, I mean, there's... Yeah, Halo Infinite's going to be kind of one of those things. I play Halo for the campaign. I'm one of those weird people.
Yeah, I am too. I play Gears for the campaign, so you know.
Yeah, so for me, the story is the biggest portion of that, not the PvP. I don't like doing PvP unless I absolutely have to. And that is just a personal choice. I choose not to have that kind of stress in my life. But
I've heard that, you know, Dying Light 2 is supposed to be on Game Pass, so I'm kind of waiting to see.
There's going to be, you know, the way that it's going anymore. I'm just going to go ahead and wait. For releases just to see if it's going to show up on Game Pass.
I mean, I already got the subscription. I might as well get something out of it, right?
Well, I mean, it's saved me enough money that it's probably, not probably. It has paid for itself this year. So there's, you know, that is one big benefit of that is you can give things a go without having to buy into a game.
Is there any other Gamescom news? Oh, go ahead.
They did say we are going to get a campaign when it releases on December 8th.
Oh, they are? Okay.
Yeah, it's just we're not getting campaign co-op.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, so I got to play it by myself.
Pretty much.
That's fine.
Solo campaign, baby.
That's fine. The co-op experience on, you know, on Xbox, PC, game, you know, Game Pass is, I still wish they would fix that shit.
We just had the one issue with Gears.
I mean, it's a pretty big issue. I kind of wanted to play Gears with you, so there's that.
I mean, we could always give it another go after we get sick of Aliens.
I guess. We could try. There's additional stuff from Gamescom, like smaller stuff like April O'Neil being a playable character in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge, which if you've played some of the old arcade Ninja Turtles, that's a callback to that, which is kind of neat. Of course, she's being added to Nickelodeon's version of Smash, Smash Brothers. So the Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl is going to get an April O'Neil, I guess. Two games I haven't touched and probably won't. let's see. More. There was a new Metroid Dread trailer.
Oh, the 2D side-scroller?
That's the side-scrolling Metroid. That's going to come out for Switch. The release date for Metroid Dread is in October 8th this year. And it showed off more of the new abilities Samus will have, with the suit that she's currently wearing. Shows off some of the Chozo stuff. That's in the game. Probably shows too much, to be honest. So it's one of those things. I kind of like to be surprised from Metroid, so I saw that there was a trailer, but I didn't watch it. So I might actually just go ahead and pick that up, even though I played my Switch a grand total of like maybe 2 hours this year. I might pick it up for that.
Also, they had more video news on the new Battle Royale game based on Vampire the Masquerade.
Oh, God.
Blood Hunt.
Really?
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, God. I hear Battle Royale and I just kind of check out.
Same.
It looks pretty clean, but I'm like you. I don't know that I necessarily want to play that in a battle royale fashion. Well, but it looks really good.
Refer back to the situation where I said I tend to stay away from PvP because I don't need that kind of shit in my life right now. And battle royale is basically that in a condensed form.
Right.
It just causes me to sigh. It's not what I'm looking for in gaming.
Yeah.
But I think we're just the wrong demographic for that kind of stuff, right? Like, we're not necessarily competitive gamers anymore.
No.
Well, no, it's more of, and there's people that do like that, and I don't fault them for that. That's perfectly fine. I tend to get a little I get a little upset when I like progression games. I like something that I put time into. I have, I have something that like grows and, progresses. I don't want to basically be the same avatar just running the same fucking map over and over and over and over and over again. And, my progression is like cosmetic, I don't need to have, as the kids say, the best drip. I want to be, I just want to progress. And if that means that I end up playing a solo game, I play a solo fucking game to progress. I'd get more enjoyment out of Farming Simulator 2022 than I would out of any Battle Royale game. because I can at least watch the fields grow. I'm weird, but that's me. But I don't, there's more smaller shit from Gamescom, like, you know, the Death Stranding Director's Cut shows off new items. Like I said, there's more Call of Duty shit in there. There's a Marvel game that's, you know, that was announced.
Yeah, it's made by the people who made XCOM.
Right.
The Jake Solomon Studio.
Yeah, it's, there's a lot more details here. We end up filling an entire show full of it. But I mean, the internet is full of this, this information right now. So I suggest taking a look at all of those for more details.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that Marvel game to see. The similarities are that the Marvel game has a base kind of like XCOM did, like a base building thing where you create buffs essentially for different things by having different rooms in your base, so to speak. And it's a tactical RPG, but they said it's supposed to be pretty different than XCOM. It's just structured similarly, and I'm okay with that. I'm a huge XCOM fan.
You're going to have, you know, Marvel heroes and villains with their own superpowers. You know, you're not going to ask Wolverine to shoot laser beams from his eyes. You're going to want Wolverine to get up close and personal. You know, so they're all going to have unique play styles to it. If they do it right, it could be great. It also could be a shit show because I would say a good portion of Marvel games come out mediocre. So we'll see. I'm done talking. Anybody else got stuff to say?
I don't have much else at this point. Jason, do you have anything?
No, I think that about covers it. I mean, Gamescom was a whole lot of confirmation and reveal, mostly confirmation of stuff we already knew. I don't know.
Basically reaffirming that 2022 is going to be the year of game.
Yeah.
Yep.
So.
All right. Well, Jason, where can you find us?
Find us at tiltcast.com. Find us on Facebook and twitter.com/tiltcast. Our YouTube channel is youtube.com/therealtiltcast, and search for us on iTunes and Spotify. Subscribe.
Find some friends of the show. We got Cabbage, KBG. You've got For the Love of Gaming. You got Picking Up the Pixels or Pupcast. You've got noquarters.net, bmfcast.com, and tvgp.tv. Go there for all of your Destiny news. And that's a wrap.
Alrighty. Peace.